Namaste and welcome back to another episode of The Sapient. Today, for maybe in a very long time, we have two people on the show. So, hi, welcome, how are you doing today?
Hello, we're happy to be here and we're doing really good. It's been basically just the start of the day so for us, you know.
Got it. Where are you based out of?
We're in Vietnam.
Vietnam, nice. So, our time zones are pretty near to each other, right? Because I'm from India.
So that's like 1.5 hours, I think.
Yeah, that much, right? Because typically when my, you know, guests are from US or something, it's like 12.5 hours. And the struggle is real, right? Because then sometimes, you know, I have to wake up at like 3-4 o'clock in the morning to speak to Americans. I'm like, let's just have 1 clock for the world, right? That just makes sense. Anyways, what's your story? And, you know, because I'm seeing two people, so what's your story?
What's our story? Okay,
want to begin?
You begin.
All right, so it's like a little bit complicated, but also can be inspiring. And it depends on how far do you want us to go. Maybe we can go a little bit further, later.
Dude, we have an hour, so take your time, man.
Maybe we can go a little bit deeper.
Yeah.
But okay, so I'll start with this. Mm-hmm. I'm from the Czech Republic. She's from Cambodia, mm-hmm. right? So already opposite sides of the world. So how is it even possible that we got together and all this? Mm-hmm. I started working on my online business when I was about 19 years old, and I started traveling the world full time when I was 22. Mm-hmm. And online, I made a friend who, with her family, coincidentally, lived in Cambodia. And so near Christmas 2022, I was traveling around Thailand. And my friend was like, yeah, you're in Thailand. I'm in Cambodia. Do you want to come spend Christmas with me and my family over here? And I'm like, whoa, this, okay. Yeah, that sounds like an amazing adventure, right? And so for Christmas, I flew over from Thailand to Cambodia to spend Christmas Eve and then the New Year's as well with her and her family over there in the capital and then on an island. And so on the 24th of December, I'm hanging out with my friend, and I'm not like a club person or bar person, like not at all. But my friend is like, I kind of wanted to go dancing, you know, do you want to come with me dancing? And nobody else in the house wanted to go. So I'm like, yeah, you know what, you know, you invited me over here. And I said, I'll go with you. You know, we can hang out and do this. And because I'm not a club person or not this kind of person, I'm like, okay, well, what's the worst that can happen? At least I'm going to bring my free hug sign. Mm-hmm. And if I'm really not enjoying the dance or whatever, the club, I'm just going to go out on the street and do free hugs in front.
All right. I can tell more. This is a funny part. So I went out that night with my friend. It's a Friday night, right? So we went out and I saw a guy who looked 17 years old. Holding a rose, a bunch of roses, maybe 5 or 6 roses on his hand, and just stand there like, look scary, like don't know how to dance. And I'm like, people around him is look older than him. I thought, oh, this guy, he's so young. He just traveled with his parents. Like, what the fuck is he doing here? Like, don't even know how to dance when he came to the bar, right? And then a few minutes later, he just come to us and giving rose to us and say, hey, you want a rose? I'm not selling it. It's just a gift for free for Christmas. He's repeated about 5 times because there's a lot of people who went there and sell anything they can, right? Uh-huh. So I was so confused, just like hold the rose, but my brain's still loading. Like, what the fuck? It's still loading, right? So then he walked back. I was like, oh, all right. So I just danced with my friend again. And a few minutes later, I saw my friend talking to him, and then I was just looking at them, and then he pulled out the free hug sign. Mm-hmm. So my friend was so confused because he was just standing there and he just pulled out something like this, right? So I was standing from maybe 10 meters away, and it's in the bar, so it's so many people, right? Mm-hmm. I see a free hug sign and I'm like, no way. I see this one in real life, I gotta do this. I push everybody in front of me, push it away, so go to hug him.
Nice. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, please go ahead. Yeah.
And well, after that, we kind of talk a little bit. But honestly, my English that time is so bad.
Mm-hmm.
But he understand it, at least. And he's also pushed me to do a free hug. And I'm really scared. Like, dude, I mean, we are from Asia, right?
Yeah.
So Asian people know that it's really scary to do something like this outside, especially when you're the girl.
Yeah.
So rude for the girl, right? So I was like, ugh, I don't know what to do. I'm really scared. And then he pushed me behind me like, come on, just do it, just do it. I was like, go little by little. And then finally just hold it up and everybody's come to hug. So it's like, have a great time together.
Nice.
And he need to go back home that time because he has a meeting with his client at 6 a.m. Right? He gotta go. So he asking me if I can go for brunch tomorrow with him. So we just gotta talk. So for that time, I don't think we really like interested in each other. We just know each other like, okay, you look kind of interested like the way you are. And we just want to hang out. And also he said, well, I'm from Cambodia. And he just went to Cambodia for the very first time. And he think at least maybe I can show him something in my country, right? Right. So next day, we went out. We went to Brown Cafe. So we just have a cafe and just sit and talk a little bit. So that time we share a lot of things, right? So he's talk about his business. And that time I just quit my job. And I do my own thing in online as well as a personal trainer. I just help people lose weight, but just in online. So I'm just waiting for my passport and about to travel as well. And he also traveling. I'm also traveling and kind of so much. And what do you think about me that time? Tell them.
Yeah. I mean, what was your kind of first outburst of thought, right?
For me, it was really just like, oh, wow, like a kind of a cool person from Cambodia speaks English. That's very rare already by itself, right? And then second, just quit a job to do her business full time. Like I did the same thing. I know how hard it is. You know, I love people who kind of go outside and do their own thing. So I'm thinking, oh, you know, I'm gonna learn a little bit about the country. You know, hang out with the local, because I've done this in so many different countries before, where I've traveled before Cambodia, and so. We just kind of clicked very well, and I was very inspired by the rest of the story and everything else. And
how did you tackle, you know, the communication gap?
You mean
like,
with
because the, Julia just mentioned, you know, like her English was not so great. So was it more of a vibe thing, or was it more like, you know, let's talk to each other slowly?
It was definitely let's talk more slowly. And also she says that she had a very bad English, but she had good English for normal conversation, communication wise. Obviously grammar or spelling or something like that, then she would probably fail horribly.
We Asians don't care about grammar that much.
Yeah,
I think, you know, we can agree on that. Like, we are just like, we need to tell you this, right? And we really don't care about grammar. Yeah, and you know, that's like one of the biggest things, right, in terms of communication, as you said, right? Because, you know, we have seen couples who don't know each other's language, but they still manage to survive somehow. So what do you think, like, kind of helped you move forward in the relation? Because, of course, once you guys met up, right, and, you know, you did speak to each other and you understood, okay, this is a person that, you know, I can spend the rest of my life with.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, it was exactly like that. So for me, it was like I already knew what I was looking for. I was like, okay, if I'm going to get into a relationship, if I'm going to be with a girl, well, first, I want to have the option to, I'm not interested in situationships or just like something like a fling for a couple of weeks or whatever. Like I wasn't interested in that at all. I was like, okay, I'm looking for like a partner and a teammate in life. And so I had pretty strict criteria in my brain. I've also wrote it out in my journal a couple of times before. Like, okay, if this is what I want from my future partner from, and then she just kind of was fitting all of the boxes. And then, on the first day, we talked very deeply about our like values and vision and dreams and what exactly we want to do and like where we come from, our stories and all of this. So it wasn't just like, oh, maybe get together kind of, you know, but like I was like very calculated in my head of like, okay, she's fitting all of these boxes and, you know, I can see how it can work out together.
Mm-hmm. He asked me a really weird question that most of people didn't ask.
Mm-hmm.
What did I ask? What do you want to do in life?
Yeah, that's a deep question.
What did you see? What are you seeing yourself in 5 years?
Yeah. Did you ask, is this a job interview?
I almost think about it. And he asked, like, where you want to live in the future? And I'm like, it's really deep because normal people, they didn't ask this question. And Andre just like, because he know what he want, right? So he wants to know.
Yeah.
He's like looking for the person who fit in the box. So he asked all the questions that he really need to know. And I already feel like good kind of weird. So for the very first day that I seeing him as a 17 years old kid, and after he asked me all those questions, and I'm like, who is really this guy? Like, why?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it almost sounded like an interview, right?
In a way.
Yeah, but, I feel like I'm interviewed. Like, I feel like in the office and somebody interviews me, I have to be like this. Like, answer like one by one.
It's funny to hear this from like an outside perspective, because this is what I do with every person that I meet, especially if we get to talk like longer.
Yeah,
like that's just like how I operate. It's like totally normal for me. You know, ask about their passions, their dreams, what's their vision, what exactly do you want to do, you know, what's your story, what's motivating you, things like that, you know.
Yeah,
and that's just what I want to know.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you are somewhat of a deep person where, you know, you try to dig into a person and see what they're made of, metaphorically speaking, right?
Yeah.
And Julia, how was it for you? Like, what questions did you ask?
How was it for you?
Like, what questions did you ask him? Because he was grilling you, right? For a job interview.
I don't think I have any question. I would just wait and answer the question that he asked me. Like,
question.
Because I'm not prepared for this, right? Or like, not prepared anything. And then he just came up with this question. And so I was just like, answer one by one. So he just kept asking one by one how he wanted to. I would just sit there like, get like an interview. I have nothing to ask.
Right?
I feel like that's an over-exaggeration though.
Yeah. Andre, I feel like you set her up, though.
I feel like that's an over exaggeration. It wasn't like me sitting there like, okay, so what about this? What about going through one by one?
Uh-huh.
It was more so mentally, but I was like, it was in a conversation style. Like, I would also share my story, share my opinion, perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Just like in a normal conversation setting, not like an interview style.
But she definitely got the job, though.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And it's by the way, if we're talking about relationships and specifically getting into relationships, I think this is like what most people miss.
Yeah.
And that's why most relationships don't work out, because people get into the relationships for wrong reasons and they don't really know what it is that we're getting ourselves into here.
Yep.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And they are not ready. They don't know what exactly they're looking for. They're kind of just like, oh, I kind of like this person, you know, they look cute. It's a nice vibe, you know, whatever. Let's get into a relationship.
Yeah.
Whereas it was more so like, okay, I know what I'm looking for, and this is kind of, and I told her specifically like afterwards as well. It was like, okay, so this is what I want to do. This is, I'm going to live in a van. I'm going to travel the world. I'm going to speak on stages. I'm going to build businesses. This is kind of my layout for the next 25 years of my life. If that resonates with you and you want to be a part of it, you know, we can figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to have, if that doesn't make sense to you, then you know, good knowing you, like we can be friends or whatever, but the relationship isn't going to go like any further or deeper.
Yeah, he asking me directly like this after 2 days that we met. He was like, okay, this is what I do. This is what I have people with. This is how I survive. Do you want to travel with me? Would you like to be my girlfriend after 2 days? So we have some fucking crazy people, right? We know each other 2 days. I think I was just kind of confused or something.
That's not so reassuring to hear now.
But yeah.
I was confused, so I said yes, you know.
Yeah.
And I honestly, for the beginning, I don't really believe it worked because, like, I'm sorry, I've been into some relationships, like, just in 2 months, at least, we just fucking break up. I never have a relationship for so long. Mm-hmm. And also this guy, I don't know.
Who is that? Yeah.
He asking me to be his girlfriend, and then he's traveling around, and I still cannot travel in yet. It's like,
yeah.
I don't think this is going to work, because I think he's going to find somebody else in another country, right? So mm-hmm. I just said, okay, yes, but I'm not really believing it yet, like, not yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think she was in a stage where she was like, let's do a trial run of this and see if it works.
Yeah.
Right.
Let's see how it worked.
Right.
I was not doing a trial run. I was like all in right away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it takes a certain level of decisiveness to ask somebody to be a partner in like 2 days. Right? Not everybody does that.
No, not really.
Yeah, I don't think
right?
so.
Do you think communicating your vision and kind of you know, what your expectations are out of your life also helped you?
Yes.
Because you just made it everything just clear, you know, clear cut, right?
Yeah.
No bullshit, just, you know, straight facts.
Yeah.
Right. Do you think, you know, a lot of women go into defense mode after hearing that?
Into what?
Into defense mode, because they don't know how to respond to that, right?
Mm.
Because, you know, that might be something that just happens in real life. I mean, Julia is an exception, of course. Where she was like, let's do a Netflix trial. But, you know, in general sense, right?
I think this would be my thought. I think she's kind of playing it off like, oh, yeah, maybe. Mm-hmm. But I could see that she has a lot more figured out than maybe she even understood. And I saw the potential. Mm-hmm. Also, maybe granted, because, you know, I have my own journey. I studied psychology and this and that. So, like, and I'm mm-hmm. a coach. So I could see that she's got things figured out. Plus, she was already doing her business and she quit her job. Plus, she moved out of her house when she was 12 years old. She was like basically by herself. So she's been independent and been doing all of these things. Mm-hmm. Right. So she's like playing it off like, oh, I don't know. I didn't know what I was doing. But like she knew,
yeah,
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the problem. That most people, and this is not just women, this is also guys, like,
yeah,
you can go around asking people, hey, this is a great experiment. Hey, if you ask people, hey, what do you not want in life? Mm-hmm. People will be like, oh, let me tell you, I don't want to have I don't want to have a boss. I don't want to be broke. I don't want this. I don't want to be stuck here. I don't want this. And then you ask them, okay, that's great. Great list. What do you want? And they're like, good question. I never really thought about that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows what they don't want, but mm-hmm. nobody knows what they actually want.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big problem, because if you whatever you focus on, that's what you're going to get. So if you're focused on, I don't want to have this, I don't want to have this, I don't want to have this, that's what you're going to run into. But
mm-hmm.
if you focus on, I want to have a business, I want to travel the world, I want to have this, I want to do this, then that's what you're going to focus on, that's what you're going to go towards.
Mm-hmm.
And when people ask you about it, you're going to be like, oh yeah, of course I know. So the bigger issue here is
mm-hmm.
people need to figure this stuff out for themselves
mm-hmm.
way before considering relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my belief. That's my opinion.
Yeah, because I read somewhere that people have opinions about everybody but themselves, right? Right? Like, that's what just people are, you know, like they have an opinion about everybody else. And... you know, they themselves don't have any idea of, you know, what they're about to do, right? Yeah, I mean, that totally makes sense. Do you also think that it takes a certain level of maturity to be that clear? You know,
yes.
Before getting into a relationship, you know, from the both
yes.
parties, right?
Yes.
Because if one party is, you know, kind of not mature enough, the other party would be in trouble.
I think so. Another, also, if one party is really mature, then I think they can guide the other person to kind of grow up faster in a way.
Yeah.
But like that only goes to a certain point.
Yeah.
Right. Like, yeah. So mostly, yes.
Yeah. But it's also kind of placebo, right? Where the other person also has to accept that, you know, they are willing to grow.
Yeah.
Right. Otherwise, it's the same Western, you know, style of relationships where, you know, it's more of, you know, trial and error. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. Do you think in the younger generation, right, because of the way we are marketed to and we are sold, right, in a style, people are not willing to work on the relations, rather expect like tailor-made relations for them?
Mm. This is the power of social media or and the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And so my answer is yes and no.
Mm-hmm.
Because it really depends on what you see on social media. There's both. Like, there's totally ridiculous, unrealistic, crazy stuff out there. And then there's actual good marriage tips or relationship tips and communication tips and advice and guides, right? So like if you pick up my phone and you go on my Instagram, mm-hmm. it's going to be completely different yeah. from her Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be completely different, both of us, mm-hmm. from your Instagram, and everybody yep. else has their own Instagram. So like if you go on my social media, for example, you will see like pretty good relationship advice and tips
mm-hmm.
from people who've been married for 40 years or mm-hmm. people who've had, you know, been in relationships for 25 years and things like that. When it comes to relationships, and there's other things, of course, right? And for other people, it might be somebody like Andrew Tate, right? Where it's just like fucking tens and things like that. Like, and then that fucks up people's brains. So it really depends
yeah.
on what you see and what you see most often.
Mm.
And most people sadly kind of just stumble into that.
Yeah.
And that would be a whole nother conversation. I talk about this a lot of like using social media for personal growth and for benefits instead of letting
mm-hmm.
it use you. But yeah, again, that would be a whole different conversation. So I think it really just depends on like what you put into your brain, because
mm-hmm.
there's both accessible. But if you even look into, I think, and because of this, I think younger generations have better chances than the older generations, because there's better information available if you want to find it. Like if you want to find how to be in a lifelong relationship for the next 45 years and
mm-hmm.
keep the passion, keep the energy, keep the enthusiasm going, you can find that. And you can find people who can teach you that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas back then it was much harder. And so that's why, especially in the US, but I think other places as well, the divorce rates are so high.
50% at this point of time.
Ridiculous. And okay, for their culture over here, it's like the relationships or how people get into relationships is even more crazy. But people stick with it a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like it's forced, you know, a lot of it, right? Like their parents force kids to get into it, especially young girls. So
mm-hmm.
She could tell you a lot more about that. She likes to speak on that.
Yeah.
I don't know, you're from Asia, we know. You're from India, from Cambodia. Something like this is really similar and a lot happened.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. you said something about social media, right? Do you think social media is kind of an echo chamber for people? Because if you are obsessed about something, it just feeds you the same thing every day. Right?
Yeah.
Where to a point it can convince you of stuff that is like straight lies.
Yeah.
Right.
And there are some people who are very good at manipulation and lying and things
mm-hmm.
like that, where they seem to like they have all the right facts,
mm-hmm.
but they leave out just like a little piece.
Yep.
Right? And then it seems like it's completely opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's like we have to be really vigilant and very, very careful with the consumption of information these days. Yeah,
mm-hmm. yeah, because if you look at social media as a whole, right, there are like three, I would say, things that people manipulate, that is like relationships, finance, and politics, right? Like those are the three things that are manipulated the most.
Yeah.
Right.
Topics, yeah.
And especially in Asian countries where mental health is kind of taboo, like you don't speak about it, right? It's kind of, yeah, it doesn't exist kind of thing, right?
That's how I grew up, by the way, too, in Eastern Europe, mostly. Mm-hmm. It was the same. My parents were, it doesn't exist, just get over it, you know?
Yeah, just get over it. And but also, do you think that kind of cultural differences, right, even between, you know, regions within the same country, let alone, you know, continents, also influences or a chemistry of a relationship?
Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, we've had many, like, disagreements and misunderstandings and pretty big fights and heavy emotions about something that's completely different. That's normal for me, but it's normal for her very differently. And then it creates, like, a lot of... you can see it. You can see... I don't even want to remember that.
I don't even want to think about that shit. Yeah.
So who wins those debates in a majority?
Who wins?
Yeah.
There's no win.
No win here.
Yeah.
Like you can't look at it that way. I don't think you can look at it like there's got to be a winner and a loser. It's got to be like we kind of went off like, okay, we're just going to figure out our own way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Meet somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
And see, make it crazy. Because we're kind of like, vibing, you know, we went our own way. We started our own businesses and ditched the normal, like what culture told us to do. Like, right. Mm-hmm. For her culture said, oh, you're a girl. So you got to be a housewife. You got to get married by the time you're like 18, 19. And you're just going to stay in the guy's house, take care of him. He's going to provide him whatever. Right. And she said, no, I'm going to go to school. And she left her house when she was 12 to go to work, at nights and go to, so she could pay for her own school. Like she's a 12-year-old kid. Mm-hmm. To me, that's kind of really, because in Asia it's more common, but I had no idea back then. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was like my society or my family, they were all like, oh, you go to school, do this, get a job. And I was like, nope, I'm dropping out of school. I'm starting a business. I'm going to travel the world and doing my own thing. Mm-hmm. So that helped a lot, that we already had this little bit of a rebellious mindset of like, nah, I don't want to do that. I'm just going to do my own thing. She said, I don't want to do that. I'm going to do my own thing. And so then, even if we have culture differences, we kind of just like, well, let's just do our own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been very helpful, even, but still doesn't avoid fights completely, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think what you're trying to say is it's more of a cooperation than a tug of war, right?
Yes.
So you both, you know, both people work towards the same goal.
Yes.
I mean, it sounds more like a corporate, but... I mean, I don't know how I made it sound corporate,
it's
but...
It's a business.
But for this, like, if you ask if we fight, I don't think we fight, but maybe he fight with his family. I fight with my family somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And again, they tell me something that it doesn't make any sense about, okay, right, you got to get married before you live together, before you travel together. But like, I don't agree with this because I see my sister... my cousin, also the people in the village. So they didn't know each other, or they know each other really short time, and then they get married because their parents think that it's a culture, you have to do it, otherwise you're gonna die. So they're doing it. So because they didn't really know each other really well, so after they're getting married, everything just happened. They have a kid and they get divorced, or the guy just go with another girls, and some of them even kill each other. And also my sister, my bigger sister, get a fucking weird guy ever that she didn't know, and when she getting married, so she kind of love him already, she has a kid, and then that stupid guy just do something stupid to my little sister who's just 7 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine that? Yeah, so it's like, when they tell me what to do, I just fight, like, I'm sorry, mom.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe for other kids, you can lead them, but for me, I'm sorry, I just gonna take my life. I'm gonna support you with the financials and stuff. But for my life, please, like, leave me alone. I'm going to live my own way. And don't even tell me what to do. I'm not going to listen to anything. But didn't mean I didn't love you. It just that's how I live. And if you talk about that, I feel like I live in another world compared to them. Like, I think I'm not really, like, travel a lot. I think, 5 countries that I have been, but they've never been anywhere except the small village that they live there for 300-500 people there, right? So they see nothing. They only see their people. They only know everything that the old people know and tell them, right? So for this, like, yeah, we kind of fight, but not in the relationship. I don't think so.
Yeah.
Now, a quick shout out to Luxy, a dating app tailored for those who appreciate quality. Luxy goes beyond the ordinary with a selective membership process that ensures you're connecting with singles who share your high standards. Plus, Luxy's income verification feature brings a unique touch, offering a level of trust and exclusivity you won't find anywhere else. Want to elevate your dating experience? Try Luxy and meet people who match your ambition, style, and goals.
Yeah. But also, Julia, looking at your trajectory of, you know, where you came from out of, right? And, you know, you say you have traveled so many countries, right?
Five.
And when you talk to people who have not even left their district, later on their state, right? What's your kind of first feeling towards them? What do you feel about that?
Honestly, I just really want to tell them, doesn't matter a girl or a boy, I just want to tell them, right, I think you better go travel. That's it. Like, that's what I really want to tell them. Because most of them, when they talk to us, like, they never know what Vietnamese look like. Sorry, what Vietnam country look like, right? They have no clue. But they didn't even ask me yet, but they just heard that I already been to Vietnam. And they was like, oh, Vietnam is really crazy, like fucking criminal still stuff. And it was like, not say Vietnamese people's going to hate Cambodian people. Actually, I'm here and chill. Like, nothing happening, right? So I want to tell them, like, get out of your house, get out of your country, see the world. You never know. A lot of opportunity out there. You never know.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I really want to tell them.
Yeah, but it also kind of broadens your experience with people, right? Because you're dealing with people from all walks of life, where you're like, okay, you know, whenever I go to a new conversation, I should not carry assumptions about a person, right? Whereas a less traveled person might have assumptions about other people, right?
Yeah.
So do you see that in your journey, kind of? Where, you know, you worked on your own assumptions a lot.
I don't get it, sorry. What are you?
From my perspective, I would say yes. How to explain this to you? So when you don't really travel, you kind of assume that people are this way and this is how it works over there.
Oh, right.
But you don't really know. So
right.
How was it for you? Did you have to, like, open your mind more about, oh, I believe this or I think this about these people, but then the reality is maybe different, so I have to be more curious when you started travel?
I think kind of more curious, because I just want to get to know more about always, like, it's also depend where I've been, like, well, I guess I don't know about how to describe this, sorry. But again, it was just like, you understand, like, you even more understand an open mind. So some of them, they kind of really kind of get angry at you when you talk about your opinion. But for me, I think when they get angry, I was like, I kind of laugh at them, because they're just angry at other people's opinion, because, well, they think what they believe is the truth. Right? So example, I think maybe your country is as well. I have no idea about India, but for my country, they still believe that beauty standard is the first thing. And mostly they pointed to the girls. You have to be slim, like skinny, long hair, have a makeup at least a little bit. And one thing that they fucking focus on is white skin. Like, do anything it takes. The lotion, or take off the skin, whatever it is, to just make the skin white. And they believe that is beautiful. And because of that, it's not just I think that's really in general, because I see a lot of kids that got bullies in school because they had a curly hair from when they was born. And normally, I'm sorry, we Asian, we have this skin type that everybody have. If you want to have white skin, then you just got to do something else. But it's no chance that you're going to was born with white skin, right? So some of them get a white skin because of the lotion, and they go to bully a kid who don't have white skin yet because they're still a kid, right? So some of them are like get depressed, anxiety, crying. So it's like, I'm sorry, like this is really bad, but I'm sorry, I couldn't change them, because I mean, you cannot go change everybody, but you can change yourself by understanding this and like get over it.
Yeah, that makes sense, because moreover, everywhere in Asia, culture is pretty similar, right? And expectations are pretty much same. It's also because, you know, it's because of the imperialism, like we were ruled by British for so much time that, you know, we have this attraction towards white skin, right? If you really think about it.
Okay, I will add something. This is, I find this fascinating, right? In Asia, people who have brown skin, they are obsessed with beauty has to be white skin.
If
you go to Europe or the Western world, people are white. They are obsessed with tanning and having more brown skin.
Yeah.
It's so fascinating how people are just like unsatisfied with what I have.
Yeah.
So I have to like, and it's completely the opposite, right?
Yeah.
The beauty standard is also very different.
Yep.
Like, it's the opposite. And it's so, it's so interesting.
Yeah. It's also like hair, right? Like those people who have straight hairs are trying to get curly hairs.
Yeah.
And those people who have straight hair, curly hairs, they're like, I should have a straight hair, you know?
Yeah. I would just see it last night in the TikTok. It was a girl who was 14 years old. She posts her photo, just two of them, and she write a caption. And I go to see comment, and I'm like, oh my God, this is fucking ridiculous. So she posts like, I really want to be beautiful, but how? Look at this, just my hair is going to ruin everything. And she just have a curly head that looks so beautiful to me.
Yeah.
And her brown skin, her face, everything is look perfect for me. Like, I really dream of that, right? And like, she posts like, she really regret that she have that when she was born. And I go to see comments, and every comment tell her to go to the salon and get a straight hair.
Yeah.
And she doesn't look beautiful. I'm like, what the heck was this? You know, I was like, that's a big design at all.
Exactly. And I don't know whether you guys realize this or not. Lot of men, right, who are short, think tall guys are very secure and confident. Well, it's actually the opposite. You know, tall guys are not that confident or secure about it, right? They're like, I, you know, in a group of people, I just stand out like a tree. Right? They're not confident.
All right.
But short guy looks at a tall guy and says, okay, you are so tall, right?
Yeah.
You should be so much confident. But it just doesn't happen like that.
Yeah, I'm really tall for Cambodian girl. I'm like 175 centimeter.
Yeah,
that's really tall. I'm really tall, and everybody's called me a palm tree or a coconut tree.
Oh my God.
That's what my friends call me, because they are like really short, maybe 160, and I'm like 175. I'm like really tall for them. And some of them seeing me, and they was, oh my God, I wish I have a tall like you. And some of them said, okay, you are just too tall. You're not going to have a husband because your husband is going to show to you.
Well, send them a selfie. Say what? Right. Yeah. Like this whole conversation kind of ties back into the relationship, right? Where people have certain physical expectation of their partner, right? So, you know, if somebody says, you know, I want a short girl, somebody says, I want a, you know, girl with more height. I have never seen somebody say that, but just making an assumption, right? And it is sad to see that people lose a lot of good people just because of their physical expectations, right? Like, they would rather be with a toxic, good-looking girl than, you know, very positive, average girl. Right?
Yeah. There's not much to say about that. Like, it's like, what are you doing? Why? You know?
Right? Why?
It might be actually, you know, might be because of the expectations and what other people are gonna think about you, especially for guys. I guess this is what I would see in Europe. It's like, you want your girl to be like 10 out of 10, not really for you specifically,
yeah,
but for other guys to be jealous of you that you have this really beautiful girl. Whereas, yeah, like, it doesn't matter. So it's, if we go back to relationship, looks have to be definitely second.
Yes.
Right? But I mean, they're still important, right? And when you're writing out your list of who's your ideal partner, focus a lot more on the psychographics, what's in her brain or what's in her head.
Yeah.
The values, the beliefs, the goals, the dreams, personal development, things like that, rather than just looks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because at some point, all the looks go away. Right?
Very true. Very true.
And you're just left with the mental state of a person. As you said, the mental being. And if that's fucked up, guess what?
Well, it's not just that the looks go away as we grow older. It's like, it's a nightmare. You know, like, yeah, and it just makes your life so much harder if you have this person that you have to deal with that may be cute, but like a witch, you know?
yeah, exactly. Or like a manipulator, right? In a relation, that's one more thing that people are like, you know, she's very manipulative or he's very manipulative, but, you know, he looks good. So, you know, I'll put up with it.
Oh, no, I think I want to go back a little bit to the conversation. I still remember you asked who's the winner, who's the loser. So I think in the relationship for two of us, I don't think we're going to find somebody is the winner, somebody is the loser. I think the main thing is the conversation. Like, if I angry at him for something, I've got to tell him, like, hey, come sit. I'm going to tell you something. I'm angry at you because you didn't do this. No, not like this. So yesterday, my eyes getting hurt and he didn't pay attention because he was just being busy with something. But I mean, I'm a girl. I still have emotions. So I just get angry at him. And then I tell him, like, hey, I'm sorry. I tell you that I need help and you don't give a fuck. Like, you cannot do that. I get upset, right? I tell him the truth. So he was thinking about it. And then he says, sorry. So he's like, next time he may be getting careful about it. And also he telling me something because I'm really aggressive, like not like hurting him like bad way, but like for love, I'm like, you know, sniff him like aggressive way. This is how I impress love, right? So he's like, but I understand this, but you better be a little bit careful. Like, I don't like when it's too aggressive. I don't feel enjoyable, right? So I mean, in relationship, it's like mostly about the conversation. Doesn't matter what it is, right? So if you think you're trying to find the winner and the loser, when you talk about that word, I can imagine the knife, like you're going to cut each other because you want to win or lose, right?
Yeah.
I don't think that word is useful in the relationship. No way.
I want to win.
Go get the knife.
Yeah, let me ask you this, right? Are you both extroverts or... How is it in terms of
weirdos?
That's the best description. We are weirdos. I'm very much, personally, I'm very much an introvert, but I find myself to be extroverted. A lot of my introversion was caused by social anxiety and all of this extra and shyness and things like that. But naturally, I'm more introverted, and I've learned to be extroverted and very expressive, and I really enjoy it. But at the same time, I need my like alone time and my peace, and my solitude. And she's had a little bit of struggle with that. I'm like, hey, I need to be alone. Like, I'm not feeling so good, for example. You know, I need to relax my brain. I need to recharge. I want to go for a run. It's one of my ways how I reset myself, right? I'm like, hey, okay, I think I'm going to go for a run because I'm not feeling so good. And she's like, oh, can I go with you? Can I go with you? I'm like, that's my space. Like, I don't really, I, you know, it's not going to help me if you're there. And she's like, oh, you don't care about me, whatever, whatever. And then finally, I was like, this was what, last week?
Yeah.
I was like, okay, you can come with me on the run. And then we're running. I'm like trying to, you know, clear my brain and just focus on my run. And she's like joking, like pushing me a little bit. And I'm like, okay, we gotta, like, this is not gonna work. Never again. I need my space, right? And she's like, she gets it. And obviously dealing with that. And then again, we have to communicate that very clearly. Of like, hey, I really need this. This is for me. And if you don't give me this space, it's going to be bad for both of us here, right? So it's a win-win situation if you just let me go run by myself. So I personally definitely need a lot more space and solitude and introverted time, not just from other people, but also just from her.
I kind of more extrovert.
Yeah.
I don't like to be alone too long, because if I do that too long, I get into depressed for no reason. Like, what are you overthinking about? I don't know, I just overthinking, right? I don't know, I just depressed. What are you depressed about?
Yeah.
I don't know. And then your brain just trying to find so many things to worry about when you don't really need to worry about. Like, life is beautiful, what you have to worry about, right?
Yep.
But I kind of more like extrovert.
Yeah.
She's also always like, not always, but very often, she's always like, I said that again, very often, not always, very often, she says, can I have some attention? Can I have some attention? Because I'm like working, I'm busy, you know, I'm focused on the business or I'm figuring stuff out. I'm planning where we're going to travel, this. And she's like, oh, you don't pay attention to me. Can I have some attention? Okay.
Come on, it's just
dirty. Yeah. Also, in the best kind of relationships are the quite opposites of, you know, each other, right?
Yeah.
If both are extroverts or both are introverts, that's trouble.
Yeah, right? Somehow.
Can be,
yeah.
I cannot really say. Maybe yes, maybe not. It depends, I think, on the people. Have I met any people who are both introverts? I don't know if I've had any specifically people that I know, but I've seen videos of like memes, for example, when like the couple is an introvert, both of the couple are an introvert, and then the plans get cancelled and they are both celebrating, let's go, we're gonna watch a movie all right by ourselves instead of going out, that kind of thing. So maybe, you know, people can make it work somehow. Yeah, it depends on like your situation and then seeing, okay, how can we make this work with what we have.
But it's also like, you know, having that quite a, you know, polar opposite characters in the same relation kind of pushes each other.
Yeah. And it can be like in different aspects, right? So if they're very same in being extrovert and in being introvert and introvert, then they're going to be very different in probably some other area, you know.
Yeah.
It's very rare that you get two people who are like exactly the same in all areas and in all areas of life.
Kind of have each other out as well. If one of them is introvert, one of them is extrovert, you know? So then we kind of, I think, easy to understand each other somehow as well, though. Because, how to explain this, I don't know. But like, it's easy to have each other. Like, so example, I'm an extrovert. I like to went out for something, right? So he didn't like it. So maybe I can tell him, well, you know what, if you're like feel stressed and if you went out to see people, right, then you're feeling better because of this, because of that, right? Yep. But he overcame his social anxiety, so he don't really scared to go out, but just sometimes he need time by himself. But for me, it's different. Like, if I feel like low, if he's sad, I need him to be with me because he can slap my brain. Like,
yeah, got it. Yeah, I mean, it helps each other to be in track, right?
Maybe. We'll just...
You know, to be in sync more.
Yeah.
Because, you know, an extrovert can cover for an introvert in an external event.
Yes.
Like where there are too many people, right? Yeah. That's a unique thing. Okay. Since, you know, now there are like a million dating apps.
Oh, yeah.
Right. like a million.
Millions and millions of them.
Right. Do you think this whole dating landscape has changed?
Yes.
And it became more of a hunting ground than actually finding somebody.
Yeah.
Right? Because when you're on a dating app, I assume you're constantly comparing people.
Yeah.
Right.
Dating apps are so bad. Dating apps are so bad. Delete that shit. Unsubscribe. If by any chance you've paid for it, throw it out of the trash and never open that shit again.
I mean, get to know people in online is great, but I don't think dating apps is a great idea. I used to have it too before I know him. But like, to me, just for fun, just to flirt with people, just for fun, that's it. But like, never think anything serious. But like, if you get to know some people in Facebook or Instagram that you just have a friend with and you kind of have a text and you kind of like each other, I think that way is like, is even more better, because I don't know, because some people in that platform, they show themselves with anything that they want to show, right? But in the dating app, I think most of people, also me, I just want to put my really beautiful picture, you know, like people to see and interested in, right? So it's like, I don't know. Some people work with that, some people not. But for my opinion, I don't think it's good. That's it.
I would say for 99% of people, it's very, really bad. There are some rare exceptions in rare cases that it worked out and then they actually met a partner. That again, like kind of prefaces, like you have to be really intentional with what you're looking for and be like, okay, I'm looking for a relationship. This is exactly what I want. This is how I'm going to know that it's a good fit.
What I feel is, you know, it's not bad thing to use a dating app, but it's a crime to use a dating app where there is nothing which is verified.
Okay.
Right? Because there are dating apps which can verify you, the, you know, particular person or their income, or, you know, there are a lot of criteria, right, that people look for. And, you know, there are services which do the verification. You're better off using that than somebody catfishing you.
Yeah, yeah, that too. But it's also like the swipe left, swipe right kind of thing.
Yeah.
Where you're constantly comparing people and you're not really trying to get to know the person. You're not trying to build the connection. You're just comparing only looks. They're highly in the beginning, right?
Yeah.
How many people actually go to look at their interests and stuff? Very, very little.
Very little, right?
And then it also creates this like, grass is always greener kind of, especially in guys, because I don't, I can talk on that. Like, oh, like, but on Tinder, there's so many of these beautiful girls that I can just swipe on, you know? Whereas, and it's obviously just photoshopped and unrealistic, or the best angle, you know, like, 1 out of 100 selfies that they took kind of stuff. So it's so artificial, and it's artificial and superficial. So, and it messes with the brain, and it doesn't help you build actual relationships. A lot of it is, especially in the Western world, it's really focused on one night stands and relationships more so, rather than finding a relationship. So like, if you want to find a partner, don't really look on, I cannot advise people to look on dating apps to find a partner.
Do you think it's just because people are scared of commitment? Or are they scared of getting hurt?
That's a good question. Well, I think those are very, very connected, I think. Being scared of commitment is definitely a big part of it. Being scared of being getting hurt is probably a bigger one, actually.
Got it. Now, what's your take on prenups?
Prenups?
Yeah. Of course, in most Asian countries, it's not even legal, but...
Whoa, it's what's your take on prenups? It's not illegal to have a prenup? Damn.
Yeah.
Interesting. For us, I don't think it's going to make any difference. because we got together when we were both like completely broke. Like completely broke.
Yeah.
So we're building everything together.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, in some cases, I think it makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't, to be completely honest, I haven't really put that much thought into it to be like, to have mm-hmm. a very concrete opinion and way to explain it. I think in some cases, it probably makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
There is what, you know, I can definitely say is that there are a lot of women out there who are doing this, game to exploit,
mm-hmm.
exploit guys, exploit people.
Yeah. Because I think I need to give you more of an idea about the debate, right?
Mm-hmm.
The debate is, women argue, or most women argue, that prenup is a man thing,
mm-hmm.
right? Because it's about money.
Mm-hmm.
But they are like, why are you preparing for a breakup in a future?
Yeah.
Where the man is, it's not me preparing for a breakup. If you really are in it for me, then sign the prenup, because it should not mean anything.
Yeah.
Like, that's the whole debate right now, if you look at the prenup situation.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's a deep topic.
Both sides, to me, both sides make sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think if both people are in the relationship for like, okay, we're in it for life, then it shouldn't matter. So mm-hmm. if either of the people are like really fighting on it, then there's a problem. If it's like, yeah, let's get a prenup, let's do it, and then both are like, yeah, if we're already both committed, then it doesn't make a difference, right?
Mm-hmm.
If the girl starts fighting about it, like, no, I don't want to have, why would you want to have a prenup? Then, that's
flag.
A red flag, you know, like, what are you intending here, right?
Yeah.
Because then it's from the guy's perspective as well, like, oh, you're planning to break up, or you want to prepare yourself, you want to get my money, you want to get my mm-hmm. you want to get my shit, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
And yeah, again, it happens a lot, so I think mm-hmm. it's from both sides. If the topic of the prenup comes up and like, hey, let's get a prenup, and both are like, yeah, that makes total sense, that's the best situation, right? Because mm-hmm. none of the parties should be insulted by this if both are 100% committed to doing whatever it takes to stay together. Then the
mm-hmm.
prenup is never going to take effect. So
yeah,
why, you know?
Right.
I guess that would be my thought from just the top, without giving it any deeper.
What about you, Julia? Like, what's your take on the prenup situation?
You know what he means by prenup?
I was still thinking about it.
It's like
about
a
what you're saying.
Prenup is like the contract.
That's what I think. The contract.
Before,
example, what you have if you break up.
Yeah.
Well, it would be, I think it would be good, but also would be bad for that. Because I don't know, you know, okay, for that, I have no idea, but if the girl want to have something for herself, like, example,
mm-hmm.
she want to have her own business, she want to
yeah.
do something by herself, because, again, you plan something for the future, but you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
What if somebody die, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not break up for some reason, but what if he died? Like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Right? So
I guess then the money would just go to the person.
Yeah, I think that's... And
yeah, but
prenup is like for divorce.
But for prenup for divorce, like, I have no idea.
No problem.
I
because
I'm early in that yet, so I have no idea.
No problem. Because there is a statistic that says the 7 out of top 10 richest women got their money from divorces.
Yes. But I would be curious, actually, on this topic, I would be curious of like, what are the percentages of how many people get divorced if they got a prenup, and how many people didn't get divorced when they got a prenup? You know what I mean? Like, what are the percentages on that?
I'm really curious now.
Overall divorce rate is very high, like 50%, right? 50% of people get divorced. But do all of them have prenup, or do none of them have prenup? Like, what are the percentages there? I think that could give us like more insight of like how, if it actually plays a role in what it shows.
Right. Yeah, I'm also curious about that because you're right in terms of it's like how many did actually end up, right? Okay, so it says only 5% of divorces in United States have a prenup agreement in place.
Wow. Very little.
Yeah.
Very little.
Yeah, very little. And a study mentioned for many prenups, right, found that 62% of people surveyed believe that requesting a prenuptial agreement sends a negative signal before future of marriage. So it's like a lot of people are against it.
Wow.
We never know about it.
Right.
This is like something that I was, honestly, I like didn't really want to think about too much yet. Especially because, well, I have no idea what the process is going to be of us getting married, because she's from Cambodia, I'm from the Czech Republic. So that itself is going to create a fucking whole other mess.
Yeah, paperwork mess.
Yeah, like, so like, I'm like, oh, okay, we're going to cross that bridge when we get to it.
That makes sense.
I don't want to think about any of the bureaucracy and paperwork over here and paperwork over there. And
yeah.
Ugh. That's going to be a headache.
Imagine, right? Imagine. I mean, that's very hard. If you're from two different countries.
Yeah.
And literally two different continents.
Yeah.
The paperwork is going to be a mess.
Yeah. And I mean,
but also the whole procedure.
To be like honest, Cambodia itself is already a mess.
Yeah.
You know? And Czech Republic is a lot of mess as well. I think it's maybe a little bit better with the government and bureaucracy and all of this and the institutions. Mm-hmm. But I really don't like these.
Could you imagine the logistics involved in it?
Don't even make me think about that shit. Damn. I'm going to cross that bridge when I get to it. I know we're going to figure it out, but like, yeah, it's going to be probably... it's probably going to be a challenge, you know, figuring it out, what paperwork we need and how we get it and whatever, like, where do we go? Do we go to the Cambodian government? Do we go to the Czech government? Do we have to go to both governments? Oh my God, where's going to be the wedding? Is it going to be in Cambodia? Is it going to be that? Well, fuck it. Let's just do it in Hawaii, you know?
Yeah. Just become Americans. Just change the citizenships. Right?
Yeah.
Don't want to think about it yet now. Like, I already feel stressed about it. I just listen to it, I'm like, oh no, I don't want to think about it now.
Yeah, so for how many years have you guys been together?
It's very close to 2 years now.
Nice. Got it. So you're still not in the stage where you are going into that mess of marriage. Just in paperwork.
no messy paperwork yet.
Right.
If it's too messy, then just don't care about it. Create our own and just leave again, you know.
We're just gonna write our own paper, you know? Just like okay, we're married now, sign it.
That's it.
Yeah.
And that's it.
That sounds like a plan.
The only for us right now, honestly, the only and this would be kind of just for me, honestly, as a little bit of a flex, just to make myself feel a little bit better. the only benefit of us getting married that I can see now, as in like having official papers and stuff like that, is that when we buy a passport in the Caribbean, then both of us get it. So I would have dual citizenship, you know? And the reason why we want to do that, because her passport sucks. And it's really limiting in visa, you know.
Tell me about it.
You know, this I don't have to tell you, right? So she has to deal with all that shit. I just have my European passport. I just show up like, what's up? And they're like, oh, come spend your money.
Yeah, yeah.
So for me, the world is very open. For her, it sucks, right?
Yeah, for me too.
The only way around it, the only way around it is, well, there's
buying a passport.
Two ways. One, buying a citizenship and buying a passport. It's called citizenship by investment. You can do that in the Caribbean. They have very good passports. It's like 150K, the US dollars. Pretty expensive. Mm-hmm. Another way is that we get married and then she lives in the Czech Republic for 5 years, has to learn the language, has to learn the culture, has to do like a citizenship test and has to have employment, has to have a job there and this and that. And yeah, it's going to take minimum 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that with our businesses, it's going to be easier and faster to get to the point of just paying for a citizenship. But yeah, the only way, the distinction there is like if she buys a citizenship and she's and we're married, then we both get a citizenship and a passport. If we're only a couple, if we're only
the same, not legal,
even if we're engaged, not legally, right? Like if we have our own paper, like, and it's like on a piece of napkin or something, then they're gonna be like, we don't take that, you know, that's not, it's not official. So only she would get the passport. And it wouldn't affect us really. You know, we could still travel. Yeah. I still have my freedom already. But like having two passports and a dual citizenship sounds fun, you know?
Yeah.
I want freedom. Yeah. I want to travel a lot. My passport is struggling.
We'll get there.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you know the best way of getting a passport, a strong passport?
What's the country called?
Let me tell you, right? You go to US... Right, you overstay your visa in California and you report yourself. That's all.
Wait, what?
Yeah, that's what people are doing now.
What?
No.
Yeah.
What are
because
you
so it's like I would, let's say, take a visa of like 30 days, right? To US. I'd go to California. I'd stay there for like 60 days. So after 30 days, you know, before they'll search for me. And after, let's say, 60 days, when I'm overextended my visa, I go to a cop and say, you know, I'm overstaying, so I need to seek asylum now. That's the easiest way to get citizenship right now.
What?
You'd become a US citizen.
And they just give citizenships like this?
Yeah, because you're seeking asylum, right? Asylum. You cannot go back to your country.
Wild.
What?
Well, I think with the recent election, I don't think that's going to happen anymore.
Hopefully not. Hopefully not.
Yeah.
Right?
This industry is wild. Like,
yeah.
I mean, the whole passport scenario is a whole different game, right?
Yeah.
If you look at Europe, you know, there are like contract marriages for passport and
it's so,
you
know, it's all that hard. It's really hard. Like, I did a little bit of the research, not too much, but I did a little bit of the research. It's really hard for her to get a European passport. The only place that's easy is like, I think it's Portugal, and it costs like 300K. So it's double priced than the Caribbean. And the Caribbean, many countries in the Caribbean do it, and they have like 170 countries visa free.
Yeah, but you also have tax benefits, right? In Caribbean, you don't have income tax. You don't have corporate tax.
I'm not sure. Like,
it depends which country in Caribbean you're looking at. If you're looking at something like Trinidad.
But personally, I just looked at the passport because that's what we're after, right? Like, so she can just travel. Because there's, like, it's affecting us now badly. With income.
That is.
It's a little
Because. You know, you have a superiority, right? In terms of passport.
Yeah.
Dude, you could literally walk into an airplane without booking. They would still accept you. Right?
Oh, I'm just going to pay now, you know.
Yeah. And as Asians, even if you got visa, there is a chance that we cannot go onto that airplane.
Yeah.
Right? We cannot take that flight sometimes. Yeah. I mean, that's a weird scenario. Imagine some Asian countries, right? Like Pakistan and those passports. Those were just fucked.
Yeah, it's hard. It's really hard.
Right? because it's like you are like on alert all the time, and you have to literally fight to get anywhere.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, so what's your kind of suggestion to somebody who is looking to settle in their life, you know, to find a partner?
He's looking to find a partner. To settle, I don't think I'm a good person for that, because we're both planning to keep traveling and not settle for probably next
one. Settle meaning have one partner for life.
Oh, like settle over. Well, you have to make the decision of like that you want to have a life partner. And mm-hmm. you have to figure out what are the pros and what are the cons, and if that's something that you really want, then why you want it, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's first. Second is figure out, and if you, this is like if you really want to pursue it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, no, this is if you, in general for everybody, make a decision mm-hmm. of what you want. Do you want a life partner? If so, why do you want a life partner, mm-hmm. right? What if you don't want a life partner, if you just want situationships or random relationships, okay, great. But like, why? Understand really deeply why you want it, not just because some guru online told you that you can bang 10s, that you should go do that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So really understand your whys and your motivations.
Mm-hmm.
Then the second step would be to figure out who it is that your life partner is going to be, right? Like, what are you looking for?
Mm-hmm.
Specifically focus on beliefs, values, mm-hmm. goals, dreams. Focus on those four, not really looks. You know, it's like you can't just say, oh, my ideal partner is a 160 tall, she has glasses, she's a blonde, she has blue eyes,
mm-hmm.
nice butt. Like, that's not that one. That's not what I mean. I mean values, beliefs, dreams, goals.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where it begins, like, how serious, how fast do you want to do it? If you want to do it really fast, then mm-hmm. you go to the next step, is figure out, okay, where is this person hanging out? Can I meet her at a mm-hmm. retreat? Can I meet her at an open mic? Can I meet mm-hmm. her, or can I meet him? Doesn't matter, right? Where would this person hang out?
Yeah.
Right? And then just go there and talk to the people and figure it out. Also, mm-hmm. forgot to mention, you have to ask yourself, if I met this person today, would mm-hmm. they be interested in me?
Mm-hmm.
And this is a big key here, because you can write out, oh, I want to have somebody who has their own business, successful, does yoga, this, that, whatever, believes, wants to build a charity, do all this, right? And then you ask yourself, okay, if I met this person today, would she be interested in me? And you're like sitting at home playing video games all day. Then mm-hmm. the answer is fucking no. Then you have to work on yourself and become the person who mm-hmm. this person would be interested in, right? So mm-hmm. like, you have to become the person that would be compatible with your ideal partner. And then, so if you want to do it more faster, go and hang out in places where you can potentially meet her. If you mm-hmm. don't, this is what I would recommend, don't pursue it. Focus on becoming that person and mm-hmm. just do your own thing, and it will kind of happen. Just like for me, like, I wasn't doing free hugs. I wasn't giving away roses. I wasn't doing free hugs to find a girl. I was doing it for me. Like, I was doing it because that's something that is a part of my personal development journey. It's like something of like, I want to be the person who gives free hugs. I want to mm-hmm. be the person who gives away roses. Like, that's who I wanted to be, and that's why we got together, because of that. It wasn't like, I'm going to do free hugs to find a partner, you know?
Mm-hmm.
For this, like, in my country, like, they use the word, so I'm going to translate it to English. They mm-hmm. say, building a garden and grow flowers, then you're going to get a butterfly. Don't try to catch the butterfly. You cannot catch them. If you
got
a garden, you have a beautiful garden, the butterfly just come. Millions mm-hmm. and millions of them. So,
got it. So essentially, grow yourself to be desirable, right?
Yeah.
Got it. And yeah, with that valuable advice, guys, thank you so much for being here, taking your time. And Yeah, hope to have you back in the future once again, maybe. I don't know when, but hopefully in the future. And to my listeners, guys, this is the end of the episode. I hope you did learn a lot about relations, especially cross-border relations. And until next episode, take care. Bye-bye.